Julius Williams, 436. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. Hymn number 954.
Thank you. censure to a few words found in the 69th Psalm, reading the first part of the 20th verse. Psalm 69, reading the first part of the 20th verse. Reproach hath broken my heart. The verse reads, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. This psalm, what we might term a prophetic psalm, written by the psalmist under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He relates the inward exercises of his own soul, those darksome paths through which he is walking in the exercise on account of these things. But surely further we can see here that spoken of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He, who indeed knew what it was for the very waters to come into his soul. He who knew the hidings of his Father's face. He who expressed as he passed or walked into that garden, now is my soul troubled, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He who had indeed many enemies and knew that reproach that was known, my reproach and my shame and my dishonor, mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. The hymn you have just sung speaks of that deep desire of a living soul to be saved. Reveals those many enemies which are his to encounter. Enemies without, enemies within. More especially one's thoughts went to that verse which speaks thus, save me from Satan's wiles and snares, from all the malice which he bears, against thy image, work, and grace, against the visits of thy face. Reproach, malice. Here David knew what it was to be compassed about with many adversaries. Saul sought his life, determined his overthrow, went to great lengths on this account, so that the dear man often feared that he would be taken by the hand of Saul. He knew the threatenings of this adversary. Those loud threatenings She accused him of this and that. Reproach hath broken my heart. And strange though it may seem, those were not possessed with the fear of the Lord. Those walking a path of ease, who ride, as it were, upon the crest of the wave, never go down into those depths, never do business in deep waters. These cannot comprehend such sayings as this, such words as this, about the living soul, that one born of the Spirit of God hath many enemies, hath many that accuse him, many that revile him, many that scorn him. Satan is ever active, seeking whom he may overthrow. And to speak, even during the week, on those words, my soul is among lions, among lions. Not literally, but that which is felt within, the condition which this living soul realizes, can be expressed as being amongst those who are bent on their destruction, who feel to come under the accusations of the adversary, and so often feel guilty, guilty beneath these reproaches. Reproach hath broken my heart. This is the effect. It's the effect of these things in the pathway. Brings the soul down. It makes them feel broken, anguished spirit, an aching heart under those accusations of the adversary. As he points that finger of scorn, as he scornfully accuses them of their condition. Did not Joseph know somewhat of it? The archers have sorely grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. Literally, he felt this in his pathway, and it had that effect upon his own soul. He was caused, as each are caused, to wait the Lord's appearing. Seeking patience beneath these trying strokes, the word of the Lord indeed is tried. Those persuasions, those intimations the Lord doth give, he will put these things into the furnace. He will cause all manner of foes to rise up against them, to try his word, to prove that soul. 'Tis in this way he gives exercise to faith. For faith will not lie dormant under such railings, under such accusations. One will know what it is to cry, unto God would I commit my cause, seeking relief at the throne of grace. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Behold the Lamb of God. He must needs go up unto Jerusalem. His disciples sought to dissuade him from that purpose. Though it was according to the mind and will of God, it was that that might be fulfilled, which was purposed ere time began in that covenant of grace. He must needs go up unto Jerusalem. He knew what it was, even as he returned unto his own, went unto his own, and they received him not. Reproach hath broken mine heart. He cried on one occasion, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I abide with thee? Reproach hath broken my heart. Many occasions did not the Pharisees and Sadducees seek to catch him in his speech. Did not they rail and hint against him, bring all manner of accusation against him? They rejected him. Rejected him. Clearly, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Went unto his own. It hath its application surely concerning the Jewish people, that nation which God had so blessed, so favored, wrought so for them in times past. These who looked for the promised Messiah could and would not receive him. He who came upon this earth, born of the Virgin by birth mysterious, great indeed are the mysteries of godliness. They rejected him. Those in authority sought to take his life, sought thus to bring to naught all that was spoken concerning him. Reproach hath broken my heart. Surely this hath a deeper meaning still, as we come to that season when he must needs lay down his life for sinners. This one, a God-man, verily God and verily man, entered into those very depths. They all forsook him, we read. They all forsook him and fled. He who bid them watch and pray, Peter, James, and John, There were three favored disciples who had been with him upon the mount, who had beheld him in his glory. These slumbered and slept amidst that solemn, sacred scene, as the dear Lord Jesus Christ must needs go a little further. A stone's cast further. What, he said, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Such is the frailty of human nature. Oh, such the effect of the fall. In the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane, in that darksome place, there they slumbered and slept. They apprehended him, Judas, by that kiss, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, cannot we say, reproach hath broken my heart. Consider him, the apostle exclaims, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind's reproach. Oh, if any were subject to the malice of sinful, wicked men, and the temptations of the adversary, was it not the Lord Jesus Christ? We read that as he came forth from under those temptations of the adversary, Satan left him for a season. But oh, he returns again, as it were, we speak reverently, have that last mighty fling against the Lord of life and glory. He returns with that great power. Oh, indeed it was that day of darkness, day of gross darkness, the day when the powers of hell seemed for a season to triumph, as they bound him and led him to that cross. Reproach hath broken mine heart. He was subjected to all the malice of sinful men. They sought that there might be those who should accuse him. But these accusations were of necessity false. They could find none that agreed in those accusations. False accusers arose. Reproach hath broken mine heart. Beneath these railings, beneath these accusations, as he passed from those judgment halls, he was silent. Silent. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Persecuted, he threatened not. Reproach hath broken my heart, like as a sheep is silent before her shearers, dumb before her shearers, so he openeth not his mouth. Reproach hath broken my heart. Satan brought, as it were, before him all that lied upon him, yea, that weight of imputed sin. Justice accused him concerning that tolerable load. Beneath it, he opened not his mouth. A thought on this wise that Caesar. As that laid upon him, could he and would he? As it were, release himself from those accusations. Laid upon him was the iniquity of all the election of grace. 'Twas those sins that bound him to that cross. We read of him being bound to that cross. Oh, doth it not signify that 'twas the sins of his people which truly bound him to that cross of wood? For there he was to suffer, there he was to bear that malice of sinful, wicked men. There he was to bear that which justice demanded. There he was to bear the wrath, the unmitigated wrath of an holy God against sin. Bore this upon the cross, and amidst this distress, his heart broken, sighs and cries that go forth from his holy soul, we have recorded in the Word of God. Hearken unto that cry. Oh, my God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. The word reveals the inward condition of his holy soul, that which he felt in those hours of darkness, as all the powers of hell were, as it were, arrayed against him, as wicked, sinful men took it in their hands to smite him, to scorn him, to mock him, yea, to lay upon his head in that crown of thorns. Patiently he bore these buffetings, murmuring not against that which was occasioned against him. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, stooping beneath this load. He fell upon his face to the ground in the garden, prostrate upon the ground. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Reproach hath broken my heart, the reproach of the wicked. Bearing that curse of sin, he bore the curse. He suffered the just for the unjust. Reproach hath broken my heart. Was the path the Lord Jesus Christ himself walked in. 'Twas that path which led unto the cross. 'Twas that path which issued in that cry of triumph that he was enabled to exclaim, even with a loud voice. Not as one in the very throes of death would cry with a feeble voice, but with a loud voice he exclaimed, "It is finished, it is accomplished, the work is done. Salvation is wrought, deliverance, deliverance for sinners from the powers, the malice, the spleen of the adversary." He rose triumphant, all sin, death, and hell. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and am alive forevermore." He rose, and now at the Father's right hand, he advocates the cause of his own. He is that great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, how precious it is to realize this, to be enabled to feel him draw nigh and go with us, as such have to walk in their little measure in these paths. For many, many indeed are the reproaches of the wicked. Some of us know what it is, being in our daily calling amidst those that are of the world, to know the scorn of those around us. They cannot understand how it is that we would seek to worship as we seek to do. They deride, are not such often a subject unto those reproaches. These things to the sensitive soul are very keenly felt. Reproach hath broken my heart. But these things of those without are nothing to those wounds which are felt at seasons, even amidst the people of God. One read that psalm. We felt, considering the length of the service, perhaps we ought to read a shorter psalm. And we read thus that portion. Again, the dear psalmist speaks of that reproach which he felt. "It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Reproach. Reproach hath broken my heart. This was his language. This was the complaint of his soul. This was the breathing which went forth unto his God in heaven. Keenly he felt these sharp arrows, as such, shot against him, railed against him. One with whom he'd taken counsel, even Ahithophel. One with whom he'd taken sweet counsel. Yea, one with whom he walked to the house of God, now turned against him. Reproach hath broken mine heart. There is a word in prophecy, which speaks somewhat like this. And they said unto him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" And he said, those with which I was wounded in the hands, in the house of my friends, wounded in the house of my friends, reproach wounds. The soul is sensitive, keenly feels these accusations. Such cause a searching of spirit before an holy God. There is a questioning as to the cause of these things. There's an inquiry. And it behoves us to search our own hearts. The psalmist sought to be searched. We pray for a feeling religion. We seek to be kept tender in the fear of the Lord. Is it not often in these ways the Lord answers those prayers, those cries? In ways which one expresses, nigh drive unto despair, reproach hath broken my heart. Broken my heart. Is this altogether an unprofitable thing? To not bring up out of a state of unconcern, maybe, in that sleep of ease. I say, is it altogether unprofitable? The Lord, as it were, we will speak carefully, employs these means to stir up the nest. Sweet is the illustration, very, very instructive, concerning the eagle. She who stirreth up her nest, there she hath a young. They lie in that security of her nest. She flutters o'er her young as that nest is stirred up. She flutters o'er them. She spreads forth, as it were, her wings. Shows forth her might, her strength. And she bids that one, those young, she bids them, come forth unto her. Oh, hath it not a spiritual application concerning these souls who must needs go forth, venture forth by faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ? He spreads forth his wings, reveals his love and his power, flutters all them and bids them come forth, as he occasions this in their nest. Reproach hath broken my heart. Bids that one look unto him. Bids that one fly unto him. Did not the psalmist say, and he was subject to much affliction. He was subject to much reproach. He was subject to many adversaries. Did he not say, amidst all these, I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Thy name. Oh, how can we prove these things were it not for these parts? Thy name is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Those guilty souls had to flee, but provision was made for them in those cities of refuge. Guilty souls have a refuge in Christ. Yea, and he understands. Oh, he is that great high priest. He's touched He knows, he feels for thee in thy distress. Reproach hath broken my heart towards his language in prophecy. Oh, again I utter it. Never man walked. Verily God and verily man, never one walked to such depths as he in this path of reproach, as they rose up against him, as they sought all manner of malice against him, as they clearly said, we will not have this man to reign over us. The language of the Jews was this: away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. Sought that Barabbas might be released unto them, even a murderer, in the place of the Lord of life and glory. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, bowed down with grief, afflicted, a man of sorrows, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Truly can be said of him, to that extent which none other can ever realize, of sorrows and acquainted with grief, conversant with these paths, walking under the hidings of his holy Father's face. What must this have been to him who had been in the bosom of his holy Father from all eternity? Now to feel that calm between, even the wrath, that unmitigated wrath of an holy God against sin. Yea, that laid upon him his sweat that we have spoken of. Sweat is caused by heat. It was the heat of God's wrath against sin that caused him to endure such darkness and such pain and agony of soul and spirit. Reproach hath broken mine heart. Twas his pathway. Twas that he endured. Thus now, behold him by faith. May there be that lifting up of the eye of faith, that we might behold him now at the Father's right hand, our great high priest. The high priest of old had to stand in the holiest of holies. Their work was not accomplished, not finished. 'Twas a continual coming, year by year. This God-man, he endured crucifixion, bore the curse, suffered the just for the unjust. Now he is sat down at the Father's right hand. Yea, there that revelation of a finished work, accomplished indeed upon Calvary's cross. And now, in that office of priest and king, he advocates the cause of his people. We often think of those words, somewhat obscure in the Word of God, concerning Lemuel. He openeth his mouth for the dumb. Feel to be dumb beneath these malice of the adversary. Feel to know not what to do. Speaking thus, it all comes concerning the course the disciples of John took. As one as he was beheaded, they took his body, we read, and they buried him, and they went and told Jesus. They went and told Jesus. Grace, oh, grace is needed. Much needed. That such a course of action might be taken, and that course alone. They went and told Jesus. Told him all. His ear is ever open under the cry of the destitute. He will not despise their prayer. His feeling heart goeth out for such. Oh, this is known as he grants a portion for their souls. In the dark hours he endured in the garden, amidst that oppression upon his spirit, alone with his Holy Father, grappling with the powers of darkness, conflict within his holy soul. 'Tis recorded an angel from heaven was sent to strengthen him. An angel from heaven was sent to strengthen him. Cannot we humbly sigh? In a measure, thy blessing, the Lord doth grant amidst these baths. He sends his angel, his messenger, the Holy Spirit. The trial may not abate. The malice of the adversary may not cease, but he draws nigh, and he goes with him. Lends a helping hand. What doth the adversary accuse thee of? He's the father of lies. Doth he suggest thou art an hypocrite? Doth he point to those things in thy life and suggest thou art but an hypocrite? People of God, come under these temptations, these accusations, this malice. 'Tis malice of the evil one. For Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Did it break thine heart? Yea, to realize thy sins, nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to that cross of wood. Oh, doth he accuse thee thus? But see, oh, 'tis thy salvation. Sinners Christ came to call, not the righteous. 'Twas these felt. Oh, I do feel there's something there. These that feel these things. This signifies a broken heart, a feeling heart, one tender in the fear of God. The worldling knoweth nothing of it. Maybe those seasons when natural remorse may overcome them, but that will not last. But that which is of the Spirit of God, that which he hath implanted, this tender fear, that broken contrite heart, oh, this will mourn. This will mourn all mourning him. Adversary may and doth with all his malice accuse, shoot those arrows and wound thy soul. But see, oh, see, one went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Note the path from Jerusalem to Jericho. Down that way. Christ must needs come up. Up unto Jerusalem. We understand. I believe it is 6 hours. It was 6 hours' journey. An upward climb up unto Jerusalem. Oh, the heaviness of his heart as he passed that way. This one went down. Sinner sliding in his sin. Procuring this trouble unto itself. Oh, then how the sinner, how Satan reproaches that soul. How that one is made to feel guilty. He points the finger of scorn. Can ever God dwell there? Canst thou be one to whom he hath an eternal favour? The priest, the Levite, passed by on the other side. Nothing to do with such a creature. But the Samaritan, he drew nigh. He drew nigh. That one was stripped. That one was left half dead. Full of reproach. Heaviness of spirit. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop. But see, one came where he was. One poured in that oil. One bound up those wounds. One took him upon that beast and placed him in the inn and made provision for him then and for that which should further be needed. Oh, there's the gospel. There's the gospel. These that are broken in heart, these that feel the reproach of the adversary, these who mourn all their sad condition, oh, 'tis to such the gospel is preached. 'Tis the poor that have the gospel preached unto them. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, they had no ear for the truth. They saw no beauty in Christ. They saw no suitability in him for their needs. But those poor needy sinners, one that came up behind Christ weeping, one who indeed was a sinner, and Simon in his heart expressed it so. But oh, 'twas the blessing was for her. Simon reproached her and reproached Christ because of her. But the blessing was for her. Oh, what encouragement then. What encouragement still to continue amidst the darksome paths of the way. 'Tis that faith might be strengthened in Christ. Those times when he draws nigh, when the angel of God is sent to strengthen. Is there not then a growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? His mercy endureth forever. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness.
Number 1116, Junius Sharon, 663. Stricken, smitten and afflicted. See him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ, by men rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis he. 'Tis the long-expected Christ. David's son, yet David's Lord. Proves I see sufficient of him. 'Tis a true and faithful word. Hymn number 1116, commencing at verse 2.
Thank you. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
God willing, minister for next Lord's Day will be Mr. J. Ralph.